Welcome to Methods, a podcast from the ESRC National Centre for Research Methods. In today's episode, Remember Your Body, the researchers developing a somatics toolkit for ethnographers. Our guest is Aline Kieft from Coventry University, who's leading an NCRM-funded project which hopes to get anthropologists to make greater use of their body to support their research and well-being. I started by asking her what the word somatics means.
Soma is simply the Greek word for body. Somatics is a field that explores the inner awareness of our bodies, our ways of moving, and our ways of relating to the world. So we all have a body, but it's often undervalued other than as a resource to get us from A to B, basically. So as a movement, somatic practices are usually traced back to the end of the 19th century, where people started to investigate the body as it was experienced from within. This partly came from an urge to break free from the strict limitations of the body in Victorian times, but also often in response to illness and disabilities. So the interest came from phenomenological and existential philosophy, as well as from the expressionist movement in dance, again, to break away from the very strict movement in classical ballet, for example. So this legacy has influenced many individuals and became, a whole canon of exercises and set of inquiry. Maybe you've heard of Alexander Technique or Menzendieck or Laban, Feldenkrais is another people have heard of. And many of these have a new age connotation to them, but it's important to remember that they go back a much longer time than that. There are similarities between all these different approaches. For example, most emphasize an awareness of the breath, of the senses, a focus on conscious relaxation, a connection, like I said, between self and the world, and the role of memory, images, and imagination. Somatic practices look at habitual movement patterns, like gestalt psychology, for example. What is your posture? If you slump your shoulders, it's very different than if you straighten them out, for example. And also the way we position our body affects what we actually see. Like you imagine, if you stand on a chair, you have a very different view than when you're actually sitting under the table, right? The last thing about somatic practices is that it also introduces new movement possibilities. That creates a greater flexibility, not just literally, but also figuratively. For example, we can use movement as a research lab to try out new things, behaviors, roles, stances, and points of view. And literally, this widens our horizon and increases inclusivity.
That's a good point at which to ask you about where somatics sort of fit into academic research then, isn't it? And specifically, because what we're here to talk about today is research methods.
Exactly. Yeah, since the Cartesian split between body and mind, the body has had quite a bad press in academia. And although the core principles of somatic practices are applied in healthcare, in business, in some education, in performing arts, to our knowledge, there hasn't really been an attempt to reintegrate the body in existing scholarly methodologies. And neither has it been an attempt to track the contribution and benefits of integrating that again to the health and well-being of the researcher. Our hypothesis is that drawing from these practices can inform and enrich research through a structured exploration of sensations and increased body awareness, perception, and interpretation.
You're leading a project looking at how somatics might help researchers in their work. So tell us a bit about what you're looking at exactly and why.
So since the sensory or somatic turns, a turn which happened in the 1990s in anthropology, the physical sensations of researchers are acknowledged as data. However, students are not yet taught how to effectively be in their bodies or to apply their body as a part of their research exploration, or indeed to look to it as a source of support for mental and emotional well-being. So we decided to focus on ethnography at this stage. But at the same time, the toolkit addresses some nuts and bolts that are present within any method or methodology. So all of us as researchers, we need to conduct literature review, we need to gather data, we need to analyze it, and we need to write some type of results. So that is really regardless the type of methodology or method you choose or theoretical foundation. And I believe that the body can offer an innovative and creative way of tackling any problems that might arise during this project lifecycle. So the main aim of the project is to reflect on the body as a site of knowledge. What are the roles and responsibilities of embodiment during the entire ethnographic cycle and towards the well-being of the researcher? In other words, the toolkit, we believe, is for anyone who is interested in exploring the body as a tool within academic research. We hope that the Somatics Toolkit offers an inspiring contribution to the training of young ethnographers initially, but also be supportive to academics in general.
So what is the toolkit? What, you know, what is it, and how is it working for researchers, or how can it work for researchers, do you think?
So the toolkit itself will be launched on our website. It will consist of a series of audio tracks on specific topics. There will be a few general ones to familiarize yourself with the language and literally to remember your body. And after that, topics can be taken individually at any stage during your research project, according to your interest or the relevance to your project. And I think at this point, it's important to say that it's not necessary that you have any prior movement experience. Simply try it out with an open mind and use what works and discard the rest. Topics include exploring your physical intelligence, noticing the lenses through which you conduct your research, self-confidence, the dynamic of seeing and being seen, which is very important with observation, navigating emotions and vulnerability in relation to your research. For example, working with pairs or polarities in your data, and then doing embodied literature review, for example. And each audio track will consist of three parts: a preparation, an exploration, and a conclusion or completion. And most will last between 10 or 12 minutes, but sometimes users will be asked to pause the recording to explore a specific task in their own time. And because people have different learning styles, we also include different types of instructions. Some will be more practical and concrete, like roll your shoulders or roll your wrist. And others might be more metaphorical. And we encourage people to keep an open mind. And as one of my teachers often says, to remember that if you're feeling out of your comfort zone, it means you're learning something new. So really well done, and give yourself an applause for your courage for your exploration.
that's great. So we're going to play a short extract now from one of the tracks. Perhaps you can introduce it and tell us what it's about and why you've picked it, perhaps.
I selected a piece on identity to explore some of the different lenses we look through as a researcher. And in the beginning of this audio track, you are asked to identify three markers or defining characteristics, if you like, that may influence your gaze and your understanding of your research. Now, we assume that there is no such thing as unbiased research, regardless of field or discipline, and the questions we ask, the methods we choose, and the way we make observations, they're always colored by cultural concepts and philosophies that we identify with. So, I mean, markers that are very obvious, obviously, are gender, age or sexual orientation, religion, but also things like, are you a parent or not, a migrant, a partner, a patient, a carer, a musician, a digital native or not, like in my case. It's good to be aware of all that when you actually go into the field with your research questions and try to hear what your informants have to share about their way of life. In the exploration on identity, you will be asked to think about some of these markers in your project and write them down on separate pieces of paper and place them on the floor with you, wherever you're working. And then at some point, you're asked to physically stand close to or even on the piece of paper and invite to see how your body responds. So in a moment, you'll hear the voice of Ben Spatz, my co-I on this project, talking you through a draft recording of this audio track.
Each time, ask yourself, in what way will this marker influence my observations in the field and my research in general? Also, notice what, if any, emotions arise. Do you feel calm or tense? Do you feel included or excluded? Do you feel an outsider, or do you feel you belong? Take all the time you need to do this and pause the audio track until you have finished with the first marker.
I wonder what made you and your colleagues pick audio as the resource for this. Was it something important about the singularity, if you like, of the voice and its power?
Initially, we thought of using video, but we thought that when people are guided by voice and voice only, it's easier to stay with your own journey, with your own exploration, rather than perhaps be distracted by watching other people move and how they go through their journey, through their exploration, or even what their movements look like. And the second reason is technically it's also easier because when you record and you listen to the recording through your headphones or through speakers, for example, that allows you to have 360 degrees of movement freedom or capacity to move around your axis and turn around. Whether when you're stuck with your eyes to a screen, it's becoming more two-dimensional.
Right, that's really interesting. So just jumping back now to the extract from one of those audio tracks that we've just heard, I wonder what sorts of things it is that you're trying to get a researcher to really think about here.
Yeah, the aim is to become aware of the filters that colour some of our ways of looking at the world, and then of gathering and later interpreting data. And this particular exploration adds a physical layer to the intellectual reflexivity, by moving your body in space in relation to objects that represent a part of, in this case, your role as a researcher. And simultaneously, it allows for an inclusion of emotions you might feel regarding these different roles you hold. We might feel more or less comfortable with certain hats we use when we're going into the field. And I think it's also important to say that this way of working also allows to ask what these particular markers might want of the research themselves. And that sounds perhaps a bit abstract, but it often brings aspects to the fore that you might not have thought of when you're sitting behind your desk designing your research. So this exploration helps you become aware of some of your assumed knowledge towards your research topic and simultaneously unveil something you might not have known about it before.
And then just finally, Aline, you're in the process of testing the kit. As you said, it's still in design, it's still in production. But what's your hope for it going forward, I wonder?
Well, we're very much looking forward to our testers' feedback at the end of this month. We're also in the process of inviting other ethnographers and somatic practitioners to contribute to our blog and also to write and record an audio track on a topic that's of particular importance to them. And thirdly, we will start a series of podcasts to speak informally with leading figures in the field about their views on the role of the body in research. So these three resources together, the blog, the audio tracks and the podcasts, they will hopefully become an inspiring platform for students, for teachers, for researchers. First of all, to those who are using ethnography as a method. But we would like to apply for additional funding to help roll out the toolkit to a wider audience, both within and also outside of academia, to contribute to concrete curricula in universities around the UK, and also to have a look at cross-cultural translations of the toolkit, because all three of us who are working on it at the moment, we come from a Western education model with a specific take on the body, on embodiment, and the roles these can play within research. So we really hope that the toolkit becomes a resource that people can utilize in their own unique way and helps us all to remember our bodies.
Aline Kieft was talking to Christine Garrington about her NCRM project, Research with a Twist, a Somatics Toolkit for Ethnographers. You can find out more on the project blog at somatics-toolkit.coventry.ac.uk.